Hello, hello. Welcome back to the space. It is Monday, March 29th, 2021, here in Austin, Texas. Gotta have my coffee, bit tired. Pretty sure my grounding from YouTube is over. And as a result, really crappy background, I would be better off just eliminating it. But you're not gonna be looking at me most of the time. That's excellent news for anybody who actually watches this, as opposed to listens to it. Go ahead and share my screen here. So, what I wanted to actually discuss, and I have very basic questions here. I'll set that there for the moment. Last night, I read the news that the honorable, amazing Governor Cuomo of New York State, leader of our time, just I can't say enough about him. He inspires me on a personal level. Announced Valhalla, that there is going to be a system for proving that you're safe to society, that you're not a, you know, that you're not carrying COVID. So they'll have this new app that they announced. So I have a few questions that I want to ask. And I think they're all reasonable, but first, I want to, and just to, stay within, my boundaries and all that. I'm looking at mainstream stuff here, and I just want to kind of look through it. So the USA Today announces it, says starting Friday, New Yorkers will be able to pull up a code on their cell phone or print out to prove that they've been vaccinated against COVID-19 or recently tested negative for the virus that causes it. The first in the nation certification called Excelsior Pass will be useful first at large scale venues like Madison Square Garden, but next week it'll be accepted at dozens of events, arts and entertainment venues statewide. It already lets people increase the size of a wedding party or other catered event. All right. The app championed by Governor Andrew Cuomo to support the recovery of industries most affected by the pandemic is funded by the state and is available free to businesses and anyone with vaccination records or test results in New York, as they would. With an airline boarding pass, people will be able to prove their health status with a digital QR code or otherwise known as a quick response. I didn't know QR stood for that. Learned something new. A machine readable label. They'll need to download the Excelsior Pass app, enter their name, date of birth, and zip code. And answer a series of personal questions, obviously, to confirm their identity. The data will come from the state's vaccine registry, and it'll be linked to testing data from a number of pre-approved testing companies. The New York system, built on IBM's Digital Health Pass platform, which I want to know more about, is provided via blockchain technology. So neither IBM nor any businesses will have access to private medical information. An entertainment venue will simply scan the QR code and get a green check mark or a red X, thus allowing the person to, move forward and have entry or not. Or red X. The pass is part of a growing but disjointed effort to provide vaccine passports or certifications so people won't have to hang on to a dog-eared piece of paper or worry about privacy or forgeries or fork over extra cash to prove that they're not contagious. In addition to IBM, open source computer experts who provide code anyone can use free have been developing such systems. as have retailers like Walmart, which is offering a digital proof of vaccination to anyone who gets the shot at one of its pharmacies. The biggest challenge will be linking these systems together so that people won't need different apps for every venue that they use, which, you know, standardizes everything. I get that, so that you know, it's just a one size fits all is what they're saying. Open source computer advocates already have been collaborating to, quote, figure out how to piece together the different pieces of the puzzle, said Brian Bellendorf. Everyone knows I butchered your name, so sorry about that in advance. Executive Director of Linux Foundation of Public Health, an industry-driven consortium that builds open source software. He says it's really the nerds getting together in kind of a nerd UN to piece all this together. New York hasn't worked out all those connectivity details yet, but it hopes to eventually, as well as linking tickets to the Excelsior Pass. So people going to an event at Madison Square Garden, for example, will be able to link their admission and health passes rather than fumbling with multiple applications. Another hurdle will be finding a consistent set of standards. So what counts as acceptable, an acceptable test or vaccine in one state or country will count in another. At least two competing sets of standards are being developed globally to allow secure access to information about vaccination status, particularly for international travel. At the moment, New York is using its own, established by its state health department, but it's not clear what will happen when Connecticut, which is my home state, going there later this week, when Connecticut, New Jersey, if and when Connecticut, New Jersey, and other states establish their own certification systems. Amy Fairchild, Dean of Ohio State University and a historian and ethicist, said the biggest challenges with certifications will be cultural, not technological. Quote, IBM or Abbott or somebody can develop an app, but the question is, what's it going to be? Is it realistic to see it being used? She asked. The use for international travel is obvious. Countries, including the US, will want to deny entry to people who can't prove they're not contagious with the virus that causes COVID-19, except for at the southern border, right? Just throwing that in there. Sorry for the editorial. But whether American consumers and businesses will accept the idea of providing proof before entry is not so obvious, she said. Just as many Americans have resisted wearing masks during the pandemic, some will reject the idea of showing a certificate to get into a ball game or a nightclub. Requiring vaccination, quote, is not something we have done before within this country outside of school systems and hospitals, said Fairchild, adding it would be incredibly useful from a public health standpoint and could eventually be expanded to cover flu and measles shots if public opinion would allow it. Quote, to the extent that it could be used to help build up our public health infrastructure, that would be fabulous, she said. But such efforts have typically fallen apart because of cultural resistance to the idea of being required to do things. Quote, we are ideologically, I'm tongue twisted today, as a culture pretty resistant to the idea of mandates unless it's kids, unquote. That's why that's part of why developers are using blockchain technology to protect privacy. And why, although the Biden administration says it wants to leave vaccine passports to the private and nonprofit sectors, the White House has said that any certification process must be free, equitable, safe, and private. Preventing forgeries is key too. Already, scammers are selling fake CDC vaccination identification cards on sites like Craigslist, eBay, I forget eBay is even still around, and OfferUp, which I've never heard of before. Chad Anderson, a senior security researcher for Domain Tools, a group tracking cyber threats, told WMAQ, the NBC station in Chicago. Some of the cards are being sold for up to $200. Other approaches for the vaccine certification might include putting a notice on driver's license, as many states do for those who have opted to be organ donors. Quote, that's absolutely That's about the only piece of authentic ID that we've got that's used relatively universal, said Cimarron Bucer, president and CEO of the Appointment Scheduling and Booking Industry Association. The state immunization registries would have to send the information to the state DMVs and get their new driver's license issued, which wouldn't be simple, but at least not require a separate ID, he said. Lots of businesses will be competing to create their own certification systems. Quote, all of these companies are foaming at the mouth to be the businesses that build, to be the business that builds the system, Bucer said. Vaccine passport standards. The standardization question may be a stickier to resolve. Everyone agrees there should be common standards among apps, but whose standards? Without federal involvement, that will be challenging to resolve, Fairchild said. One standard for vaccine passports will be issued next month, said Dr. Brian Anderson, chief digital health physician. I love that, digital health physician at the Mitri Corporation, a nonprofit health infrastructure company that helped fund the group. Members of the Vaccine Credential Initiative has been working together since September. It includes household names like Microsoft, the Mayo Clinic, Oracle, Walmart, CVS, and Salesforce, as well as less known nonprofits working to ensure people's health safety information is freely and safely accessible. Once the standards are set, companies and nonprofits can use them to build systems that let someone prove they've been vaccinated. They'd be something like the digital boarding passes airlines increasingly use instead of paper tickets. I mean, we've all been at the airport, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. You just have them scan your phone. I even do that, I'll admit. For full security, people might also have to show a photo ID, though not every place will demand such two-factor authentication. A restaurant might simply ask patrons to scan their code and not demand, quote, security grade identity management, unquote, Anderson said. There will also be a way for people to print out or have printed out the QR code so that confirmation is accessible to everyone, not just those who have smartphones. Quote, vaccinations are a human right, and these sorts of credentials should be seen as equally important, Anderson said. The goal is to create a set of guidelines that a company or nonprofit could use to create a digital vaccine passport, whether it's Kaiser or Blue Cross or Walgreens or a local health department. Quote, we all want something that's trustworthy, dependable, and interoperable and easy to use, said Anderson. That's the key word right there, interoperable. Wow. This is a lot. I've got so many questions, too many to ask here. IBM also plans eventually to use the same kind of technological platform to provide overall health data, said Erica Piscini. I'm sorry, I butcher names. People should know that about me. I say it all the time. So if you watch or listen, you know that about me. I'm just terrible. I apologize. Vice President of Emerging Business Networks for IBM, which has been working on the idea for years. The goal would be to, quote, empower every individual on the planet to be able to collect information on their phone and expose that information to the right parties with consent, Piscini said. I'm pronouncing that right. The data would remain with the healthcare provider, not with IBM or its partners. A system like that would allow data to, quote, pivot around the patient and not the healthcare provider or insurance company, said Bellendorf. Can't they have easy to pronounce names? Just wonder. Or I just need to get better at pronouncing names. Who has also been working on such technology. The first large-scale test of this kind of system is launching now in New York. Beta testing at a few venues, including a recent Buffalo Bills game, showed the pass system worked effectively and was used by people of different backgrounds. For those without a smartphone, there is a printing option to provide a QR code on paper. The state is paying $2.5 million for the system, which will be provided free to businesses and individuals. Businesses will not be required to use the pass, but may be allowed to fill out more seats or admit more patrons if they do. People will be able to store multiple Excelsior passes on a single cell phone. So a parent could hold a child's certificate, for example. It will not require constant connectivity to the internet or cellular phone system. Someone who gets a state-approved coronavirus test at one of its participating labs will have the results expedited through the Excelsior Pass system. Results will be valid for 72 hours for a PCR test and 6 hours for an antigen test. The QR code will no longer scan when the time has elapsed. The Excelsior Pass wallet app for individuals can be downloaded for Android or for iOS. And for businesses, there's a scanner app for Android and iOS. The state will continue to improve the Excelsior Pass system over time. Several state officials involved in the effort said, but wanted to get something out quickly and simultaneously to support the economy and public health. Quote, the innovative Excelsior Pass is another tool in our new toolbox to fight the virus while allowing more sectors of the economy to reopen safely and keeping personal information secure. Unquote, Cuomo said in a prepared statement. He goes on to say, I think this is still him here, the question of a public health or economy has always been a false choice. The answer must be both. All right, so I have so many questions, and I certainly don't want to bore people that have watched this or stuck with me thus far, but I want to highlight something real quick here. And there's no way, if I can get back to it, there's no way that I'm going to be able to pick all this apart, but it did grab my attention. And Salesforce, I have to look at it if I can find it again. Anyway, I mentioned some groups that are involved here that I find it very interesting that they are involved. So we've got Craigslist, eBay, and that's about scammers, which is obviously a legitimate concern. But safe and private, I doubt that that's, I mean, I don't, I have questions about that. But Salesforce, some of the individuals involved are who I'm curious about. So let's just go through this real quick here. Let's go through this and ask some basic questions. All right. And see if we can do that. Now, I took the tract of doing the basic who, where, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And after reading this article yet again, there's no way, I mean, I want to add so many more questions to this, but gosh, it's a lot. I'm not in a huge rush to get myself kicked off of YouTube for simply asking some questions here. So my first question, they sort of tell you here, but I want to know more. Who developed it? Who benefits? Who funds it? Who approves or disapproves? Who's left out? And I can't read my own handwriting there. So I want to know more about the who behind it. So it said that Salesforce is involved here. There's a couple of key players that's really important for people to understand. So IBM, and the reason I say that is because I want to know more about the connection between blockchain, you know, IBM, the people that they're contracting with. Who are these people? Who are they going to contract with for the test? Who's going to be acceptable? Who's going to be unacceptable? Who's going to be involved in making those decisions? Is it going to be at the state government levels, all the way down to the local level? Will there be different requirements from county to county? Let's see. I really want to find. So getting into Madison Square Garden is one thing, but, you know, I mean, are they going to begin to require it for other activities as well? I mean, and if so, where do you stop? They talk about, she talks about here, the cultural resistance to it. Well, it seems to me that they're, you know, what are they trying to accomplish by making statements like that? What's the end game? Is it to create pressure on people? I don't know. You tell me. So my question that I have written down here, you know, what are the rules? What are the implications? What are the pros and cons? What are the costs? And what are the potential outcomes? So let's look first at what are the rules. So right now they say that it's required for certain major things. So for example, you know, a business isn't going to have it, but should they require it, they're going to be allowed to have more people in their venue. What are the rules specifically? Like if you were to create, you know, a document with like 10 core precepts of this whole system, like that everyone needs to understand, like what would they be? What are the possible implications for this? Meaning like, you know, for privacy, you know, like I am learning about blockchain, but they, you know, I mean, how do we know that privacy is protected? You know, you stick this information on the blockchain and it's governed by nobody, they say. It's safe there. It's nice and secure. How do we know that? What are the implications for blockchain technology? What are the pros and the cons? So, you know, let's bang out a list of those and be clear with the public, like here's the benefits, here are the risks. And if the state or any given state is moving forward with it, explain clearly to the public why you feel the benefits outweigh the risks and be very clear about who's involved, the nature of their business, you know, so like they mentioned in here, Salesforce. I wanted to look for Salesforce where they mentioned that again, because I believe it's so important. You know, we need to know more about all of these connections and their implications. So, you know, open source computer advocates, right? So I want to know more about that. The Linux Foundation of Public Health, an industry-driven consortium that builds open source software. So for the lay person, explain more about what that is, what it does, what outcomes you're hoping to achieve, you know? I want to rip it down to the studs and know who's involved in every part of this. You know, you got Walmart saying that they're hopping on board. So behind the scenes, what's the relationship that Walmart has with IBM, with Salesforce, with, you know, whoever's developing these things? Like, I want to know all of it. IBM's digital health pass platform, you know, if we open that up in a new tab, you know, what are we going to find there? Like, what's behind all that? Let's not forget that IBM has done some incredibly cool things. IBM sent people to the moon, right? Their computer systems, but IBM also participated in creating the tabulation system, the punch card system for the concentration camps in Europe during World War II. You know, so, I mean, maybe they knew what they were doing. Maybe they didn't. They were just asked by a client to do something and they did it. I'm not pretending to know all the nuts and bolts. All I'm saying is we have a right to ask the questions here. What's behind all this? Who's involved? They say the pass is part of a growing but disjointed effort to provide vaccine passports. Well, the disjointed effort, to me, that says they plan to standardize everything. Anyway, to backtrack, IBM's digital health platform is provided via blockchain technology. Okay, so they're saying that it's provided via blockchain technology, but neither IBM nor any businesses will have access to private medical information. Well, how do we know that? They say, you know, you'll simply get, you know, the pass, the green light or the red light, and that's it. When was this initially developed? You know, I want to know how long they've actually been working on this. Blockchain's been around for a while. These companies have been around for a while. I want to know more about when they were talking about things like this. Did they plan ahead? Were these part of contingency plans for a potential disaster or viral outbreak state governments in an effort to be responsible were planning for ahead of time? I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. When did they develop this? When were they talking about it? I find it inconceivable that this wasn't something that was sort of in the works in some form or fashion, even if it was for, you know, whether it was for nefarious reasons or, you know, the most altruistic good reasons. I find it implausible that it was just that it, you know, wasn't on the table in the last 12 months. Are the requirements going to get tighter? So are you going to need this Excelsior pass eventually just to drive through the state of New York if you stop at a rest stop? So I'm going to Connecticut. I leave Thursday. I'm going to drive through New York. Obviously, you know, that'll be day two that this is required for major events and stuff in New York State. But, you know, how strict is this going to get? What are the capabilities of it? What level of requirement is it going to be? You know, are people going to need this to simply go to a grocery store at some point? Is that going to be promoted as an idea? I think that we need to be asking these questions. When is that going to happen? Because I think that they probably have a timeline for that. And when are other states going to get on board? They mentioned in here, if and when states like Connecticut, New Jersey, that's the tri-state. So I would say it's not a matter of if, but when. So my question is when? Don't throw if in there. You know they're going to do it. There's so much interstate travel between those three states that, you know, dare I say, it makes sense that they do it. It's easy. It would be an easy thing to pitch because, I mean, it'd be a hard thing to argue with. There's so much, travel across state lines during the week, you know, and in general in the tri-state that it's inevitable that they're going to create these systems in Connecticut, in New Jersey. I would bet my bottom dollar that they already have. So the question is, when are they going to implement them and what's it going to look like? Where else is this? So besides Connecticut and New Jersey, where else are they going? Are they developing this? What other states? All right, because I also find it just inconceivable that New York is the only one planning this. Where else are they going to do this? Where does this apply? So again, back to the question of, you know, where, what are you going to be able to do? You know, what level of access are you going to be denied to even the most basic things? Several of my friends went this morning to Barton Springs. If you live here in Austin, you know Barton Springs is beautiful. It's beautiful. Let's say hypothetically that they implement this system in Texas. Now, I don't know about the rest of Texas, but Austin, Texas, if left to like a referendum, for example, would overwhelmingly vote to require a COVID passport, and they probably would be okay with it being something that is mandated right down to something as simple as going to a swimming pool or even a park to hike. So the why is this necessary? Explain why this is really truly necessary. Why is this necessary? Is this about making money? Is this about business relationships? Is this about Salesforce and its connection to IBM and its connection to Abbott and its connect, you know, is this really about health? If so, what are the statistics to demonstrate that this is truly necessary, truly? If it is, then all hands on deck, let's do what we have to do, you know. If it's demonstrably beyond all question, like a necessity to get this thing and to get the passport for all of our safety, if it's so severe that the question of individual sovereignty has got to be off the table, all right, I'll throw in, you know, for the greater good, I'll throw in, but I want information first. Why use coercive measures, whether directly or indirectly? And why use blockchain? And the reason I ask that, I know what they're going to say, because it's decentralized, it's secure, it's safe, but how do we know that? How do we know that? How knowledgeable is the general population about blockchain, like what blockchain is? Why use a technology that people don't know anything about? And how are you going to explain to them, honestly and truly, in a palatable manner, what blockchain is so that they can make an informed decision. So, why use blockchain? Now the how. How can we prevent creating a two-tier society? How can we prevent that? So let's look at Amy Fairchild here, Dean of Ohio State University, a historian and an ethicist. I love that, so yeah. She says the biggest challenges are gonna be cultural, not technological. Well, obviously that's true. I don't like the use of the word cultural. I think that she's purposely using that word and perhaps wittingly or unwittingly weaponizing it. It's more an issue of using your critical thinking skills to look at the circles of consequences for anything that we do. Whether intended or unintended, what could be the fallout and weighing and the risk benefit, the real risk benefit analysis, not the fake one, but the real one that's an active process of us, of a public discussion, not just decisions made on our behalf and us all nodding like clapping seals, you know, and saying, yes, the experts have said it's so, and therefore it's so. And I was talking to a friend who I love dearly the other night and is kind of like my spirit animal in a way. Wonderful human being, love this individual, but they are all on board and we're like, you know, I will take the shot and I will take a booster every 6 months. And they're living in New York right now. And no doubt, I think that this is great. But one of the things that this individual said to me was that I just found astounding for someone who's so brilliant, was, you know, just thank God we have the scientists and the science and thank God they're there doing what they're doing. To me, that kind of blind trust could not be more dangerous. Well, yes, thank goodness that we have the scientists. I'm glad. I'm not denying that they're smarter than me in a lot of ways and that they, you know, obviously. The question is of transparency and of competing voices in the scientific field to reach a consensus that's not one-sided, that's based on rigorous debate on all of the possible outcomes here. Not a debate that goes on for endlessly. I'm not saying that we need to do that. I realize that we don't want too much gridlock, but there is no debate right now at all. So what else? Can we open discussion about data-driven solutions that protect everybody? So when I say data-driven, I'm not talking about data mining like they are. I'm talking about opening it up to looking at much more data than they currently are looking at, instead of criminalizing certain sets of data. If you want to, you know, open it up to the public square and, you know, destroy all of us questioning the narrative with facts, that will then satisfy me. I'm fine with that. Let's do it. But that invitation's not even on the table. Instead, you just get silenced and punished. And that doesn't seem productive to me. And how can we get more transparency in general? So those are just my basic questions. I think that it's really dangerous what's going on, that we are just blindly allowing these things. And I'm still looking for, you've got so many different players involved here. I mean, look at Microsoft, Mayo Clinic, Oracle. So why going back to the why is Oracle involved? Salesforce, let's know more about Salesforce. Why are they involved? How are they involved? What are, what's their end goal? What's their value to this process? And how are they going to be trusted partners in a transparent system to get us all back on track to a better society? I think that these are questions that we've simply got to ask. I want to take a real quick look, if I can, at the digital health pass. This is IBM's website here. Just real quick, let's just kind of take a quick gander. It is interesting after all. So IBM, this is on their page, and it's about their digital pass system, a smart way to return to society. So they go on to say here, just in this little bit, that the digital health pass, part of IBM WatsonWorks. So what's WatsonWorks? Is designed to provide organizations with a smart way to bring people back to a physical location, such as a workplace, school, stadium, or airline flight. Built on IBM blockchain technology. So another question, how is IBM going to be removed from seeing this data on blockchain? They say that IBM and businesses are going to not have access to it. It's private, but it's IBM blockchain technology. Okay. Built on IBM blockchain technology, the solution is designed to enable organizations to verify health credentials for employees, customers, and visitors entering their site based on criteria specified by the organization. Privacy is central to the solution. The digital wallet can allow individuals to maintain control over their personal health information and share it in a way that is secured, verifiable, and trusted. Well, that's somewhat answers my question, but very vaguely and not with any information I can really sink my teeth into, you know, but it's something. Individuals can share their health pass to return to the activities and things they love without requiring exposure to the underlying personal data used to generate the credential. So why digital health pass? Trust and transparency, data-driven, and flexible and agile. So let's see what they say. Organizations, data-driven, under that slug line, they have organizations design the rules for configuring a health status that fit a fluid situation based on any number of data sources. So anyway, I mean, this is interesting. Basically every aspect of your, I mean, for employers, so to have a job, to participate in fun stuff, and to move. So that's a lot. I could drum up a million questions there, but I won't for now. But it is interesting, and I want to kind of tool around on this website at some point and see more about what this IBM Digital Health Pass is all about. And so then the next one is just another article on New York launches vaccine passport for use at venues, but privacy expert urges you to read the fine print. So this is the Gothamist. This article is by David Cruz. I've never looked at this before, this publication before, so I don't know anything about them, but we'll just read a little bit of it real quick here. As a way of helping stadiums and concert halls reopen safer and faster, the state has rolled out a smartphone app that confirms whether someone has received a COVID-19 vaccination or recent negative test for the coronavirus. But one expert contends that the platform's privacy policy fails to outline how secure the app really is. Quote, it's really just a high-tech hydroxychloroquine. Albert Foxconn, I think I'm pronouncing that right again, an attorney and founder of Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, an advocacy group ensuring privacy rights are upheld, said of the Excelsior Pass app. The app officially launched Friday following a trial run involving thousands of New Yorkers testing the program. The Excelsior Pass is the first of its kind to be rolled out in the United States and allows specific sites that administer COVID vaccines or test for the coronavirus to upload the data to the app. So that answers some of my question regarding circling back about who these vendors will be, but it still doesn't say who. It just says that there will be specified ones. So obviously you're gonna have to be on an approved, you know, vendor list, which I guess also makes some sense. There's two ways of looking at that, but I can see the justification for it to prevent fraudsters from gaming the system. The app produced by IBM in partnership with the state functions similarly to a virtual airline boarding pass, which we already know. Activating it produces a secure QR code that can be shown and scanned by the businesses or venue. Let's see. So far, big venues such as Madison Square Garden in Manhattan have announced it will begin using the technology over the next few weeks. Owner James Dolan said, saying the app is critical to New York's recovery. So he says users who don't have a smartphone can also bring physical documentation from a healthcare provider at the Garden, showing they have either received the vaccine or tested negative for the coronavirus. The hope is to decrease transmission in large venues and even allow them to operate at greater capacity as the state's reopening moves along. So let's see. There's any new information that we haven't already read here for the sake of redundancy. IBM will use, it says it's thanks to blockchain technology, which records public data that can then be safely stored in a variety of databases. So that's a little bit of a different spin. But Khan told The Gothamist and WNYC that the fine print does not explicitly state how the data is tracked and safeguarded. So that digs in a little bit more to my question there, although the question isn't answered as a result. Quote, I have more detailed technical documentation about the privacy impact of nearly every app on my phone than I do for this health pass, Khan said. He goes on to say, IBM and the governor are using lots of buzzwords, but they're not explaining their cryptographic model. They're not explaining the security implementation. And on top of it, the pass itself is incredibly revealing, disclosing not only people's health status, but their name and date of birth, unquote. Khan said there is no guarantees listed on the terms of service document determining whether the information won't be accessed by police departments or immigration or Immigration or Customs Enforcement Agency. Khan specifically pointed out the application's terms of service, so I'll have to take a look at that, which he said have absolutely nothing to do with this app and don't specifically cite the type of blockchain technology, including public, private, hybrid, that IBM uses. Quote, I know that it's very easy for this to come off as sort of alarmist or as over the top, unquote, Khan said. He goes on to say, but no, usually when I'm pushing back against these apps, I'm pushing back on the periphery. I'm making mild critiques. This is just like my jaw hit the floor when I read how poorly this policy was written, unquote. So that says a lot. That's it for the article. I'm going to link to it in there and stop the share. So I'm going to leave it there for now. Lots of questions surrounding this. I will link the articles in there if I can find the terms of conditions that that privacy advocate or mentioned. I will try to link them in there as well. Want to be careful about that. Don't know if YouTube will punish me for doing that too. But that's it for today. I will look more into these things and hopefully provide some expanded questions regarding using the standard format, the who, what, when, where, how, why type questioning, and keep it strictly academic and leave my conjecture out of it. And hopefully by doing that and not rendering any conclusions, I will be acting within the acceptable boundaries of those who sit at the commanding heights, at least for now. So thanks everybody. And if you object to this, I would start asking your own questions too. If you live in New York, maybe drum up some questions and call your local city council, mayor, whatever, health department, and just run through your questions with them and see if their answers satisfy you. All right, everyone have a great day.